Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cuidado la pelota que la recupera Tchouaméni, el Madrid que quiere... ¡Gol, gol, 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 gol! ¡Y gol! ¡Tchouaméni!
¡Qué gol ha metido!
Yo creo que ha tocado en algún jugador.
Ha tocado,
de Mallorca,
sí. Ha tocado, sí. Toca.
Porque Rekovic se queda mirando como diciendo.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest edition of La Liga Lowdown. I'm your host, Matt Clark, joined once again from Catalonia by Román de Arquer. Román, how are you doing?
Hey, Matt. I'm doing good. Thank you very much.
Fantastic stuff. It's been another dramatic weekend in La Liga. I'm sure as a Barca fan, you're pretty happy because Barca rotated, rested ahead of the Champions League second leg and still managed to get the win. We'll come on to Barca in a moment. But it really is at times like these that it's crunch time now. It's teams are having to get results, whatever the performance levels. It's all about results. And the biggest example of that was probably in Madrid at the Civitas Metropolitana. Atletico taking on Girona, a real six-pointer in the Champions League race. Atleti fell behind to Dovbyk, who is now the top scorer in the division, but they came from behind to maintain their phenomenal home record to win 3-1, inspired once again by Antoine Griezmann. Atleti looking good for a top four finish now.
Yeah, I mean, we did consider the fact that they were going to play Champions League football, of course, the return game against Borussia Dortmund, so there were question marks on whether, you know, how intense Atleti will be, how much importance El Cholo would give this game. But in the end, of course, I think we mentioned in the previous pod, they needed the win because they're still fighting for those Champions League positions and they can't guarantee anything, you know. And of course, with Atleti Club pretty close by, they had to do the best they could to get the 3 points. And in the end, you know, it worked out for them. Girona, of course, has always generated their opportunities. They had... chances for a second goal. Dovbyk, for example, missed a really clear goal with the goalie practically done just to push it in, but his foot was probably not set in the right way and it went out. And, you know, Girona are a big threat, but as we said, this, at some stage they would start dropping points, losing games, and away, especially away from home, is where they struggle the most. And now Atletico are just a bit closer to them and we have to see if finally they'll catch up or not, but it's going to be a very interesting... I think fight for those four Champions League spots. Obviously, Madrid and Barcelona are already practically done, but the other two will be good to see what happens.
Yeah, we'll come on to the big two in a moment. But for Girona, this was a massive opportunity to try and almost all but secure qualification. It could have been a 10-point gap. As it is, it's only 4 to Atleti, and their poor form on the road continues. They do have a few home games that look winnable. Cadiz, for example. Granada on the final day, away to Alaves potentially, Las Palmas away too. So you might think they just about get over the line, but I suppose Girona fans are going to be a bit twitchy now, aren't they?
Of course, I mean, the nerves are going to be there and it's natural, you know. I mean, also, when you've never seen yourself in this position, you feel it so close, but every time you see it gets a bit more complicated, well, it gets tougher. But I remember during the first half of the season, there was this guy, a Girona journalist, who was sharing like stats saying that at this stage, the teams that got this amount of points almost guaranteed a position in the Champions League. So, I mean, in the end, I think it's a matter of stats and of results. And I feel like getting points here and there is going to be enough for them. And I do think they are going to qualify, at least for the Champions League, unless there's a dramatic event, you know, where they start losing even at home But I mean, the Girona are still playing their football. They're still generating. They're still looking pretty sharp in attack. Unfortunately, they're not maybe scoring as many as they'd like to, or maybe at the back they're not as solid as they were at the beginning. But they're still there. I mean, Michel's essence is still represented by the players on the field. And I mean, I think it's going to be very unlikely, you know, that they miss out in those in the top four. I think
It would be a disappointment, I think, to all Spanish football fans to see them miss out after such an impressive first two thirds of the season. I think it's fair to say.
Yeah.
As for Atleti, their home form is what's keeping them in the top four. And once again, Antoine Griezmann, he reached 20 goals for the season in all competitions. He's the top scoring player in any Spanish side. Is he the best player in La Liga?
Well, I don't think this season he has been as incredible, but obviously he's still phenomenal and extremely important for Atletico Madrid, but I don't feel like it was as great as last season. But it's hard to say if he's the best at the moment or not. I mean, there are plenty of good players. There were a lot of talk of Bellingham, for example, you know, first half of the season. Obviously now he isn't scoring as much, but I think he's still an important player. I mean, it's kind of a season where it feels like there's no one standout player like it has been usually in La Liga. It feels like there's three, four, or five guys, you know, that are important for their teams, but nobody's like standing out way above the others. That's kind of the feeling I get, at least this campaign.
Okay. Well, Atleti head to Dortmund for their second leg of the Champions League. This is perhaps my favourite game of the second legs because this is on a knife edge, real knife edge. The 2-1 scoreline from Madrid just leaves the door open for Dortmund, and with the atmosphere that we're expecting in Germany, it's going to be a cauldron for Diego Simeone's men. We know their away form isn't great. Are they going to get it done? I know we spoke about it on the midweek pod last time out, so it's kind of asking you the same question, but for listeners that haven't maybe heard the midweek pod, what are your thoughts on that second leg?
Well, first of all, I think the win against Girona definitely gives them confidence, you know, to confront this important match. And what we said was basically, or what I said it was, that they need to score that goal. If they need at least one goal, and I think with that they might have enough. But if they sit back, if they try and defend and wait and let Borussia have the ball and push, I think that will be a big mistake, and they'll probably get knocked out. But I mean, definitely Atletico has the quality. We've seen it. They scored three goals against Girona. Griezmann, superstar. If he can provide, as always, he'll be very important. Morata, etc., Depay, etc. You know, they have the quality. That's why for me, Cholo needs to go out and do what Atleti has done most of this season, basically, because we know that now they're not that defensive, incredible side. Now they're more of an offensive side, we could say. And they need to go for those goals. So, I mean, if they get at least one goal, two would be great, of course. But, of course, it's going to be tough. It's a stadium where we know there's a lot of pressure. The fans, you know, are constantly on top. The atmosphere is boiling. So it's going to be very intense. It's going to be, as you said, one of the probably most entertaining games. But I do think they have a good shot at getting through.
Vamos a ver. Well, the top two both faced winnable matches, it's fair to say, on the road. Real Madrid first up away at Mallorca, who, of course, nursing their Copa del Rey defeat in the final last weekend, and Barca heading to Cadiz. Much rotation in both sides. Ancelotti and Xavi prioritising the Champions League second legs, as you would expect. But yet both sides coming away with 1-0 victories with golazos, it's fair to say. Aurelien Tchouameni with a barnstormer from outside the box, and then João Félix with a well-improvised chilena overhead kick. Roman, take these games together if you like, or one by one. Both sides maintaining the rhythm, and I suppose next week is where it's all going to be decided once and for all, the Clásico.
Yeah, I mean, as we could all imagine, obviously the coaches weren't going to put everything on the field against these teams. It's true that they're obviously fighting for La Liga, especially Real Madrid, who's got 8 points at hand, and I think Ancelotti wanted to make sure they weren't dropping any points right before El Clásico. So for me, I think Ancelotti rotated a bit less than Xavi. So in that sense, he could have put other players like Ceballos, like Fran García, etc., on the field, you know, to make sure that they all are super rested. But you could tell he wanted at least the 3 points, because coming to the Clásico with 5 points, maybe getting knocked out by City on the way, it would have been a very, very tough game for them, and it would have complicated things, though. It's a fantastic result for Real Madrid in the end. It's true that Mallorca, you know, did generate their opportunities. They could have got an equalizer, but both teams, you know, went for the win, no matter what it was, 1-0 or what, you know. And in this case, Barca, well, the same thing happened, basically. Barca pushed. Barca had quite a few opportunities. It's true that Cádiz was also quite intense during the whole game. Second half, you felt like, okay, Cádiz might be a bit tired. They won't press so high, but the guys kept going. You could tell they were fighting for their lives, basically, you know, because, of course, they still have certain hopes of saving themselves, but they needed a win, and unfortunately they didn't even find a point there. And it was Joao Felix with a lovely overhead kick who scored the 1-0, and happy for Joao, because he gets criticized quite a lot when he doesn't do things, but, you know, he's there, he's got talent, and he's providing, especially off the bench. He's been really important for Xavi.
He has a particularly good record against Cádiz. People were joking that if he played against Cádiz every week, he would be a Ballon d'Or contender. He really enjoys playing against the team from down around the Lithia. But yes, points for Madrid and Barca as they continue their push to finish as high as they possibly can. Of course, Madrid in pole position for the league, 8 points clear. Clásico next weekend will be potentially decisive. You'd imagine if Madrid avoid defeat, that's done and dusted. But of course, attention will now turn to the Champions League. Madrid heading to Manchester on Wednesday. 3-3 from the first leg. You would imagine second favourite. As for Barca, having won in Paris, as we talked about, of course, in the midweek pod, definitely favourites to get through. But of course, there's the Mbappe factor. So again, Roman, do you fancy a Spanish clean sweep, or do you think one or both of these sides might struggle to get through?
I mean, I think both will struggle to get through. That's a fact, because they're playing very good teams. Xavi in the press conference after the game against PSG was insisting on PSG still being the favourites.
It's going to be
also
war.
Saying, sorry?
It's going to be war.
Oh, yeah. Said. Yeah, also. And also the fact that he said that when you play away from home, you're more focused on defending, you know, on being tight at the back, whereas when you're playing at home, it's a bit different, where maybe you tend to go forward more spaces. And of course, we know that what Dembele, what Mbappe, what all these guys can do if they find those spaces. So it's going to be a tough match for Barca, but I do think they have the advantage. I mean, the scoreline is there and they're playing at home, so you'd think they have the better position. But I mean, there's no away goal advantage anymore, so it's pretty open. One goal opens up things completely and can take it to penalty kicks, and we all know that there anything can really happen, you know. And in the Madrid's game, I kind of feel like City are a bit ahead, of course, because we know that Real Madrid in the Champions League is another beast, you know, and they're capable of anything, and we can never give it for granted. But City, recovering a couple of players, you know, De Bruyne, for example, hopefully being back for this one, as he missed the first match, etc. I think they have a good shot, and I think that Madrid don't have a very good record away against them. So it's gonna be great fun to watch, like the first leg. But I do think that City have a better chance there. But you never know. In the end, maybe we'll be talking about the opposite: Madrid going through and Barca being knocked out. So all we have to do is watch the games and enjoy, because entertainment is guaranteed.
Indeed, and make sure you subscribe to us, llonline.substack.com. for reaction to all of that and previews ahead of it, reaction after it. Ben and myself will be on the midweek pods coming out Thursday morning, reacting to those Champions League second leg ties, where hopefully we'll be talking about a Spanish clean sweep, but in all probability,
hopefully
at least one of those sides will probably be out, but we're hoping for at least a couple through to the semis, potentially an all Spanish semi-final, of course. Atleti Barca, looking at you. Right then, man, one more game then before the break. Let's go to Bilbao, because it's been a phenomenal week for Athletic fans. They've literally been dancing in the streets with their heroes. Iker Muniain on the shoulders of fans. Goalkeepers supporting each other. Singing, dancing, chanting. Absolute street party. Incredible scenes. Then the barge, La Gabara, the incredible flotilla. Scenes and scores of people lining the streets of Bilbao to cheer on their first Copa title in 40 years. We thought there might be a hangover for this one, and I suppose you could say there was, because Villarreal probably deserved to win the game. Gerard Moreno missed a penalty, Sande Comesaña was sent off. Ollán Sanpet gave Athletic the lead, and then it was a last-gasp penalty from Dani Parejo to break Athletic hearts and take a point for Villarreal. What was your assessment of this game? Pretty crazy game.
Yeah, absolutely. And it did feel like, as you were saying, with all the celebrations, all the alcohol that must have been running through the veins of the players, you wondered whether they would actually struggle a bit in this game. And in the end, they did. I mean, dropping a point against 10 men, I guess, isn't ideal, especially for an Athletic club that are fighting there for the fourth Champions League spot, you know. And keeping in mind that Comesaña got sent off in the 46th minute, right at the start of the second half. I mean, they had, I guess, plenty of time, you know, to at least not play with the pressure of playing again 11 against 11, basically. For me, the sending off was quite harsh, I have to say. I mean, Comesaña steps on the foot of a player accidentally. It was the second yellow card. I honestly think, you know, just starting the second half, mistake, you don't really need to punish him for that. And it really, like, complicated things for Villarreal. But they still generated some good chances. And in the end, they got lucky with that last-minute penalty, you know, and Parejo transformed and gave him an important point. And it was also interesting to see that after, in the press conference, Marcelino got quite emotional, even crying, talking about also Athletic's win, the Copa del Rey, remembering his previous times there. And I mean, it's always entertaining to see Marcelino, whether it's emotions are always, you know, taking place in his press conference. And in this case, he has fond memories of his times back in Athletic Club.
Yeah, a real character in Spanish football. He most associates strongly with Villarreal, of course, but he will remember those times in Bilbao, being on the bench for not one but two Copa del Rey finals, of course, in the space of 3 weeks, and unfortunately for them, on the losing side both times. So he will feel that pain of what it means to lose a final, so he will appreciate what it means for all that city, all that club and fan base and coaches to finally win it after 40 years. So yeah, for Villarreal, a really good point. Athletic, they'll probably take it, but in terms of Champions League qualification, none the richer. 4 points behind Atleti now, and we know that fifth place is probably almost non-existent in terms of qualification for the extra spot in the Champions League next season. So Athletic have left themselves a bit of work to do, but they don't really care, do they?
Not too much, I think. This week, they were going to allow themselves for this to happen. I mean, it was all about the celebrations, all about the Copa del Rey title. And then, of course, try and perform well against Villarreal, but I'm sure that after this, Valverde is going to focus and get them back on track to get the points they need to try and fight that fourth spot at least.
Indeed. We'll see what happens in the remaining seven matches. Plenty more still to come on today's show. Join us after the break when we'll reflect on the rest of the games, including the race for the rest of Europe.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to La Liga Lowdown, match day 31 recap. I'm Matt Clark, joined by Román de Arquer. We had some interesting matches in the race for Europe. Real Sociedad came into the weekend in sixth position in pole for that Europa League slot. They hosted bottom of the table Almeria, but they couldn't get a win, Román. 1-0 down, 2-1 up, and then conceded a late penalty and saw Igor Zubeldia sent off late on. Another frustrating result for the Churiordin.
Yeah, frustrating result after they kind of found a good streak of wins, because let's not forget that not that long ago Real Sociedad were really struggling in La Liga, and this result again complicates things a bit because now they have Betis 5 points away, but let's not forget that Valencia are 6 points away and a game at hand. They have to play on Monday, so if they win, of course, that's going to be cut down to 3 points, and anything can happen. And seeing that Real Sociedad's form maybe isn't the best in the second half of the season, drawing against Almeria, who are of course bottom of the table, is never a positive result. And Almeria, as you said, went in front first, and Real Sociedad, they put a lot of effort into turning things around. They generated, and they in the end they got that 2-1, but it all went to waste, you know, because of course at the end they conceded that late penalty for Embarba to get past Ramiro, and just a point that doesn't feel like much for any of both sides, because obviously Almeria at this point want to leave with wins, you know, try and get as much as they can out of the matches they have, and Real Sociedad, as we said, they need also those wins to secure European positions. That's true. I forgot to mention that with Athletic Club winning the Copa del Rey, there's the seventh spot obviously for Europe, but you know, I still think that Real Sociedad could be fighting for a bit more, for higher spots if they got the good result, because now they don't have European competitions, no Copa del Rey in the middle, you know. So it would be great if they could focus back on their football from first half of the season, but unfortunately it's being a bit difficult, we could say, for them.
Well, their main challenges for sixth spot at the moment is Real Betis, and they were coming off the back of four straight defeats, including that late heartbreak at Montilivi, conceding in the 92nd minute. That's a whole kind of 12 days before their match against Celta, and they knew they absolutely had to win this at home, and they did. Wasn't easy, but first goals of the season for Juan Miranda and Nabil Fekir were enough to get past lowly Celta. Important win for Betis, because they now face Valencia away and then El Gran Derby, the Seville derby, at home on the 28th of April. Betis, big win for them, keeps them in the hunt. As for Celta, they still can't pull away. They were lucky that Cadiz also lost, but they are still just 3 points above the drop and still nowhere near safe yet.
Yeah, it felt like Celta maybe could profit from the managerial change and, you know, had that reaction in those first games. But in this one, I mean, they were facing a Betis that were also quite desperate. As you said, they were going through a really bad streak of plenty of losses, you know, and they needed to change that dynamic. And at home against Celta, it was a good opportunity and they made the most of it. And what a goal by Fekir, by the way, which was ruled offside at first, so he couldn't fully celebrate it as it deserved. But luckily after for him, it was given and it was a beauty. So must watch for whoever hasn't got the chance to see it. And yeah, I mean, Celta still struggling, still at the bottom, 3 points away. It's pretty open there in the end, you know, and they're going to need to try and find those points, because maybe, just imagine what happens if they get relegated after not trusting Benitez right till the end. I think that would be quite a big mess from the people in charge, you know. They either should have done it way sooner or should have just let him finish his job, and now it's going to be interesting.
Well, if that's the case, we'll definitely ask Paco his view on that one, because he will certainly have plenty to say. One team that does look like they have got clear of the danger zone is Sevilla. They have now put a distance of 9 points between them and danger, overtaking Alaves this weekend. A 2-0 win for them at Las Palmas, Youssef En-Nesyri, and a late goal from Dodi Lukubakio, giving them a 2-0 victory. Las Palmas, they are probably the team least in form in the division. 8 games without a win. They have absolutely fallen off a cliff since they've pretty much assured safety. They are now just stuck in 12th and going nowhere fast.
Yeah, I mean, Las Palmas have been quite disappointing lately, to be honest. They look so good during most part of the season, but as you said, now they're going through this terrible momentum where they're just incapable of winning and practically of scoring, we could say. It was something that I always mentioned at the beginning of the season, that they had this lack of maybe quality up front, you know, to convert the chances they generated. Then they somehow kind of solved that. They were getting the goals, they were getting the results, and now they're going regressing back to that situation where they're not scoring, and in this occasion they're not defending that as good either. So of course it's resulting in defeats and poor results, and they're dropping down, even though, as you said, they're quite comfortable in terms of points, and I'd be unlikely for them to, of course, go down to the relegation fight. And Sevilla, on the other hand, with this win, of course they're not safe, but now we can kind of say, or almost assure, that they will be in Primera at least for another season, because it has been really difficult. Two seasons where they have been really suffering so much, and now it seems like finally they're finding a bit of good results, we could say, and moving away from those scary positions at the bottom. And it'll be also interesting to see how Sevilla react next season if they finally save themselves, because it's been crazy what has been happening there lately.
Indeed. They find themselves now only 3 points and one place behind Las Palmas. And as for the Islanders, only four sides have scored fewer than García Pimienta's side. Teams that have scored more than Las Palmas include Granada in 19th and Almeria in 20th. So you can really see where Las Palmas' problems have been this season. Yeah. It is converting those chances. They're pretty tight at the back until recent weeks, but it is the goal scored column that is really hampering any progression. Two more games left to wrap up before we're done here. And quite a big one, because Granada earned only their third win of the season. It came against Alaves, two goals in the first half from Uzini from the spot and Lucas Boyer just before halftime, giving them, I'd say, a vital 3 points, but it isn't really enough because, well, it's obviously all they could do, but they're still 11 points back and it's very unlikely that they're going to have any chance of survival. But it gives their fans something to celebrate.
Yeah, of course. Right now, for me, Almeria and Granada, that's what I was saying before. It's getting as many wins for the fans as possible to kind of enjoy their last moments in the first division. Of course, mathematically, there's still an option, but for Granada. But honestly, I just don't see it happening. I don't think anybody does. So hope for them to you know, get everyone happy in Granada and kind of give them some good moments before they're going down, because, I mean, there's not much more left to do, honestly. There's always the hope. I mean, I don't want to take away that from the fans, Granada fans, who are still, I'm sure there's some that still believe, and they're going to try and push and be behind the team right till the very end. But realistically, seeing how the trend of the whole season has gone, it's going to be extremely difficult for them to get a chance at fighting for staying in the first division.
Indeed it is, but at least they've got a win and a clean sheet. So
absolutely
something for the fans at Los Cármenes to finally cheer. The final game of the weekend was Rayo against Getafe, played out a pretty dismal 0-0 draw. Roman, if you haven't seen any highlights of this, probably because there weren't many, one thing we can say is that there were yet more protests from the fans at Vallecas about the proposed move away from the stadium, and anti-president presser demonstrations, and as always, very loyal and true to their cause, Rayo celebrations and a demonstration from the fans. So definitely a community club standing up for their values.
Yeah, we always know that Rayo have represented these things, you know, in one of those clubs that's socially very active in this aspect. Unfortunately, the teams on the field weren't as active, we could say. Only two shots on target in the whole match, and they were both from Rayo Vallecano. So kind of gives you an idea of how the game went. Not much going on. A bit one of those boring games you get now and then in La Liga. Let's not kid ourselves. You know, this does happen sometimes, and there's nothing we can do about it. But it's also the essence of La Liga. These 0-0 draws with Getafe involved, especially. That's kind of a classic, you know.
10 yellow cards, two shots on target. Exactly. That's Pepe Borda, the last ball for you. That is football champagne. And once again, his remark as a manager in La Liga is equal. Perfect equilibrium, wins, losses, draws. 33% each. So I admire his commitment to the cause in that front. Yeah, clean sheet for both sides. That's all you can really say. Getafe stay in 10th. Not really making any ground on the top seven. It's going to be a long shot for them. Rayo, only 6 points clear of the drop, but given the form of Cádiz and Celta, you'd imagine that might well be enough already. So remains to be seen. They could do with a couple more wins, you would imagine, but they'll probably be all right. They've got Osasuna, Almeria, Granada still to play at home. So you'd imagine that Vallecas will get them over the line.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they are in a delicate position, but as you said, given the matches they have and given how difficult it's for the other teams to climb out of the drop zone, I think they should be okay. I think a six point gap, at this stage is not bad at all.
Well, Roman, thank you very much for your insights as ever. It's been a pretty sedate weekend in the league. A few interesting games, but mostly some routine results and a couple of you know, not so interesting games. But everything's got something.
Pretty much. It's been all about it's all about the Champions League, I think, this week. We're all thinking about the games coming up, especially, of course, us, the fans from these teams. But with all due respect, they are big games. And I mean, the first leg has been so crazy in all the matches that it's kind of like you want more. It's addictive, you know? So you want more goals, more entertainment.
This was kind of like the games that are just bookmarking in between the two Champions League legs. And yeah, I think it's been a fantastic weekend for Atleti because they've made ground on the top four. They've secured their position. And, of course, look ahead to their massive clash. And, of course, the top two winning with rotations and ready to go for the Champions League second legs. Let's hope all three La Liga sides get through. If not, we'll hope at least one or two do, so we can continue to talk about the Champions League this season and it won't be another City treble. Sorry, City fans, but you never know. It could be that again. Arsenal and Liverpool both lost today, so City looking good in the Premier League, but alas. La Liga is where we're at, and Real Madrid-Barca is the Clásico next weekend, so that's something to look forward to for La Liga fans. Until midweek, we will say hasta luego, and thank you very much for listening. Roman, thank you for your time.
Thank you as always.
And thank you, listeners, for yours. We'll be back speaking to you very soon. Adios.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.